feel very, very confident, even more so now that we have been there and had the presentation.
Hey, Pete, the f*** out somebody!
Rage Against the Machine are playing our first show in 10 years.
Okay, you guys, this is Jesse Putter. And
you know
just
what?
Big
butts. It's a biohazard.
What the hell is going on tonight with those people? Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll find out every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and through the looking glass we go to find it. And our website, indispensable part of our radio show, philhendryshow.com. It's philhendryshow.com. And in the coming days, we're going to be making our website even more an indispensable part of the show. We're going to be including it in the show, and that means including it into in some of the segments that we do, getting your opinion not only over the phone, but also by way of our news feed, our Phil feed over on philhendryshow.com. So watch our live streaming video. It's happening right now, and live streaming audio and our downloads. We've just included a few more downloads from 2004. And we have our video archive, which is a five-day video archive of this, video archives of other things. I mean, it is a big-time, big-time radio show website, philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Later on, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to be joining us. Dr. Tarner will be talking about Fox News and what he considers a new low for Fox News. Here is the story, and this probably has something to do with some of the screaming and crying we just heard. We have this story. Jesse Slaughter is this child's name. And when I say child, I'm serious. This is a nickname that she picked up over on YouTube. And it's a cyberbully case. She's an 11-year-old girl, and she told Good Morning America she didn't want all of this cyberbullying to go that far. Well, what are we talking about? An 11-year-old girl from Florida. She's known online as Jesse Slaughter. She's at the center of a cyberbullying frenzy when she posted online videos threatening to kill her online tormentors. However, the seventh grader's attempts to get her alleged harassers to back down failed miserably, fueling a viral spiral that has featured her profanity-laced YouTube videos. These, in turn, have led to death threats and a psychological evaluation of her, this child, Jesse Slaughter. What's her real name? This kid's name is, she's got a real name. Her videos have been viewed over 1 million times. They've spawned dozens of remixes, pairing her tirades with electronic music, and I don't doubt probably along the line somewhere a Mel Gibson audio tape or two, or maybe even a Christian Bale audio tape or two, or or whoever. This young girl, her real name is Jessica Leonhardt. She told Good Morning America on Thursday the escalating bullying began with anonymous online postings. Here is 11-year-old Jesse Slaughter, or Jesse Leonhardt. She was getting harassed online by people viewing her videos on YouTube. She responded to the harassers in this foul-mouthed video where she threatens them.
I feel very, very confident.
Sorry, here she is.
Jesse Slaughter here, and this is to all you haters, okay? Guess what? You guys are bitches. You know what? You don't faze me. I'm just doing this just so you can tell. I read the comments, I read the messages, I reply to them, but you know what? I don't give a f-. I'm happy with my life, okay? And if you can't, like, realize that and stop hating, then you know what? I'll pop a Glock in your mouth and make a brain slushy, okay? Because you hater bitches, you're just, like, jealous of me.
Poor kid. Anyway, after that video, the harassing got worse. Jesse created this video along with her dad. Now, can you imagine an adult human being getting involved in this? Complaining of the continued harassment.
Okay, you guys, this is Jesse Slaughter, and
you know what?
I just wanted to say that you guys have ruined my life.
First, I'm going to tell you right now, this is from her father. You bunch of lying, no good punks. And I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it. And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police and the state police.
Right.
So you better write one more thing. Or screw with my computer again, you'll be arrested. End of conversation from her father.
Yes, I know what you're thinking. It's a joke. I don't think so. And believe me, I tell you if I thought so. No, that guy's real. And he really thinks that. Here the mom gets in on the video as Jesse explains her life has been ruined.
I am torn. I am literally, I have been having emotional breakdowns, whatever. another for the past, like, 3 days.
You can't sleep, you can't eat because of them.
You guys are just basically tearing me apart right now. I'm crying my eyes out if you haven't noticed that. Please just stop hating. You guys are ruining my life.
Oh, my God. I just think that's disgusting that the adults were there and they saw this child engaging in this. And then they walk on down the hall and this baby is crying. Margaret Gray is joining us. She is the mother of a son who has experienced cyberbullying to this degree.
Phil, I'll tell you, it's emotionally wrenching. To this degree, I would say the answer to that question is yes, although I think Jason J. DelMonico, I think Jason J. dealt with it a little bit better. But when you hear that child, you honestly do hear the results of what can happen. If you have a child that is emotionally, I guess emotionally fragile, we're very lucky. Our son, Jason is able to put a lot of this in perspective. He had a little bit of trouble last year with the girl that was sending him these, she was sending him these video messages, and then she was posting them on YouTube as well.
All right, so she was sending them on what, on his phone?
Yes, these are these messages that you can send by way of video, or you can send on the phone the video messages. And she also posted a few online. And Jason's a tough kid, but he did have a very difficult time. It wasn't anything near as bad as this, but it was a difficult time for him.
Well, I listened to this little girl, and I feel so bloody sorry for her. Not so much that she's getting bullied, because that may happen in life, but that the parents are so completely ill-equipped that stupid, imbecile, redneck, dumbass father, and what's the mother, you know?
I agree with you. I can't disagree. I totally agree with you.
You know, I mean, the best thing to do is to explain to this child. First of all, what you do is get her off the computer and get her the hell out of the YouTube and get her the hell and explain to her how life works and explain to her how people are and give the kid a head start in this world on how to deal with humanity. But that's why I felt so bad for that little girl.
Well, the latest word on that story is that that child may be remanded for some kind of psychiatric evaluation. And that is really the sad part, because that girl, the people on that videotape that I think needs a psychological evaluation are the parents.
No, without question. I think the girl does, too.
Yes.
But I think those parents are... I want to find out about your son, Jason J. What was the bullying?
Well, this was this girl. I had told you, and I think I'd mentioned it on one of the broadcasts. This was this girl that found him cute. She was attracted to him. She was flirting with him, and he was not particularly interested in being her friend. She was, I think, 13 or maybe a year older, 14. And she started to send him these very aggressive messages. Why aren't you talking to me? She's a very big girl. And by that, I mean she's not a fat girl, but she's a big girl. And at school, she would get up very close to him and point her finger at him. And it began to frighten him a little bit. And the messages, they got a little more aggressive, Phil.
Do you know what she said?
Why are you avoiding me? And, you know, Jason, I really like you, and you shouldn't avoid me. And all I want to be is your girlfriend, and this going on for quite some time. And very very much her face filling the camera, so it was very intimidating, and a lot of finger pointing. And as I said, and of course I don't mean anything by this in terms of the girl's weight, because this is these are children, and so what we want to do is take a larger view of this, but... She was a very formidable girl. Jason's 13, and he is a big, I think he's going to be a pretty sizable young man. But this girl is 14 and was aggressive, breathing heavy, a lot of very loud talking, not particularly attractive. And by that I don't mean her weight, but she just, in terms of her facial features, she wasn't all that attractive to begin with, and it was frightening him. And he started to act out, as any child would, and we got a call from the school that he was following some other girl into the girls' room and acting out that way.
Wait, he was doing... this is your son?
Yes, he began to act out, as children will. when they get very frightened, or when they are very, very scared or they're depressed about something. So Jason was following this one young girl into the girls' room and was apparently following her.
What, was he just following her into the bathroom, or?
Well, he was trying to look up over the stall at her as she was going to the toilet. And I talked to the school, and I said, this is him basically acting out, isn't it? And they said, yes, absolutely. So I said, I really, it was amazing. I said to them, what are we going to do about this girl? They suggested that I file a civil action against her parents. So we are in the process of that. It is intentional infliction of emotional cruelty.
Let me ask you a question before we move on here. Jason, it sounds to me like got into some very serious trouble there.
In what sense? When he was following the girl?
When he followed the girl into the bathroom.
Well, he followed the girl in the bathroom. Her parents, that girl's parents, contacted us. And Frank took care of that. And the reason why I say Frank took care of that is because, fortunately, and I knock wood on this still, but we're a very well-provided-for family. And I don't think there's anything special about us. I knock wood that we do have the level of comfort that we have, and I'm very, very grateful. So Frank was able to take care of their concerns.
In what sense? Did he write him a check?
Yes. He made this something that we could all walk away from. This family with this girl sending my son videos, this is not going to be the case.
Well, no, let me ask you a question. Because I want to talk about what's right and what's wrong here.
Absolutely.
All right. Your son follows a girl into a bathroom and tries to look at her going to the toilet, and Frank takes care of this by paying that family,
He didn't pay them off, Phil. He made this something that they could live with.
All right. What if this family of this girl that's sending your son harassing videos, what if they send you money?
I don't know how to explain it. It's not the same thing.
Why isn't it the same thing?
We are not the kind of family that you pay off. We, if anything, and this is going to sound terrible, we do the paying off. We don't, you know, this girl frightened my son with these videos, Phil, with her big, I don't know how to say it, she's very, very formidable, to the point where my son acted out. And even the school recognized that it was her fault.
And the school recognized that it was this girl's fault that your son followed another girl into the girls' room and tried to watch her going to the toilet.
No, I didn't say that. I said he tried to look at her while she was urinating.
No, Margaret, you said going to the toilet.
Well, if I said that, I misspoke.
I don't know that there's much difference, but I want to get our phone number out there, and then we're going to take a break here. Our number is...
I think there is a difference in terms of the bodily function, yes, but... That's not the point. The point here is that Jason was frightened to death and began to act up in a manner that is consistent with that. And we got, the summer came along, we got a letter out to the family, and cooperate.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Margaret Gray about her son being cyberbullied by a girl at school. She's sending him videos and messages. Her son, in return, acted out because he was frightened by following another girl into the girls' room and trying to watch her going to the bathroom. So we got a lot of different layers of this thing. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This case of this girl, this Jessie Slaughter, this child took on this name. It's like a cyber name. I guess she thought that this was going to be a kind of a cartoon character she would play. because the kids were bullying her, she took on this persona and she began to fire back with these YouTube videos. Unfortunately, the child has emotionally come undone, and the parents are on the video with her, and I feel so bad for this little girl, I can't even tell you.
It is tragic. It really is.
I want to talk, and then we're going to take some phone calls about your son being harassed by this girl. Did Jason J. have any kind of an emotional reaction the way this girl did?
No. He's a very tough kid. He's very strong. He didn't do the videos. He saw the girl at school, and I think he just laughed at her. I think that is how he'll be. I think initially he was. He acted out a little bit by following the girl into the bathroom and watching her. The school tells me that when that happens to little girls or to young girls, Jason's 13, 14, so these are adolescent girls. The school said that when that happens, the girls themselves will act out. And Jason did report to myself and his father in the school that the girl saw him and she started to pose.
I don't understand, pose.
Jason said she was doing, I don't know what you want to call it. She was doing poses. She was squatting over the bowl, this kind of thing.
So did she know he was there?
The school thinks that she did. I think that she did. This is perfectly normal acting out. And, you know, it's a terrible, terrible thing, Phil. Girls have it very difficult in school. But inside every girl, it seems as if there's some kind of a instinct to be to do that, to be a centerfold for a swank. So I told Jason to ignore that.
All right, I'm going to take some phone calls. I want to find out if your son had any punishment, anything that came his way, including from this girl's family. Here's Bonnie in Los Angeles. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Bonnie, go ahead, please.
I feel that it's deeply disturbing that the mother is defending her son when her son actually committed a crime, and it's very possible that her son may future
What crime did my son commit? What crime did he commit? He went into the bathroom and tried to peek at a girl.
If you would like to hear.
He's a little boy that went in and tried to peek at a girl.
He was 14 years old. Not a little boy. You have to know the difference between right and wrong and being a peeping Tom. And that happens to be a crime. And these type of things can lead to a sex deviancy as an adult.
But you're missing the point. You're missing that the girl that caused this big kid, as I call her, because she's very intimidating. She's very big. She sends him these videos. She's always coming up to him and pointing at him and saying, I want to be your girlfriend. I think you can well imagine.
I think there's a big difference between a girl with a crush and a boy who walks into a ladies' room and watches a girl going to the bathroom, and you're making some kind of distinction.
I do, too.
In the type of way in which she goes to the bathroom, and that he saw her squatting. Well, that's what girls do when they go to the bathroom in a public restroom, and it's none of his business because he shouldn't be there.
I don't understand your attitude. Are you a mother?
I'm sure you'd call the police.
I don't know. I don't understand your attitude. Are you a mother? It sounds like you're very anti-child.
You're talking
are
over
you,
me.
Are you
so
anti-child?
You're talking over me. I don't know what you're saying.
I'm trying to get a word in. I'm asking you if you're anti-child. Because it sounds like you...
No, I'm anti-mother who's deeply disturbed and is a female hater. You are self-loathing as a woman. Oh my God, you have your son.
You really have problems.
I'm telling you. You're asking
problems.
Me, so I'm telling you.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, she's all of a sudden hitting me with all of these insults. Characterizing me in the most extreme ways. I'm talking about my son. I'm not talking about her son. Why do you take?
You're talking about your son and defending a crime that your son committed, whether or not he's being harassed by somebody. He should go to the authorities and report her. Tell her in no uncertain terms he's not interested. Please don't contact him anymore. That's what he should do first. And secondly,
I don't believe in getting involved in every little thing that the kids get into. I think that embarrasses them.
But you're making excuses for him. You're making
Why'd the girl squat?
For, what if your son becomes a sexual deviant because you've been making excuses his whole life?
What if this girl that my son was looking at becomes a centerfold for Swank magazine? Is that my fault, too?
Has he asked her to stop?
Has he asked who? The girl that was
girl
posing
was
in the latrine?
No, not the girl in the latrine, the other girl, the big girl, as you call her. Bonnie, thank you. Very good call. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL.
With her insults, that was a good call.
Hold on, Margaret. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Is that right? We'll be right back.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I love that. Who let the dogs out? Did you?
I thought it got tiring after a while, you know. Margaret Gray with us here, and we are talking about cyberbullying. And this is a vicious crime. It's a vicious crime not because the kids are doing it to each other. Kids bother each other. Kids just, this generation of kids have a new tool in which to bother each other. It's when the adults mess things up even worse. And in the case of this little girl, Jessie Leonhardt is her name. I don't really want to use the nickname. And her mother and her father got involved on the video, and they started I know it's a bad thing, and I know the father's probably was thinking of, I don't know, maybe that little girl.
Yeah, well, I think the father was thinking of that poor child in Missouri. Yes, Phil, I do. As well-meaning as he was, though I do agree with you, I don't think it's the way to go, but I think that father was most likely very angry, and I got angry when I knew that Jason Jay was being harassed by this big kid. And you need to understand, from the standpoint of a mother, this girl is, she is, I want to be your girlfriend, and she's pressuring my son. She, for a 13-year-old girl, she's very, she's bigger than most of the boys in the class. And the parents are very large, and if you know anything about the phenomenon, you have this big man and the big and he gets his big woman, and they have this big kid, and so the family is like this. And I think it has traumatized Jason to the point where he acted out, as I knew he would, by following this girl into the restroom and watching her going to the toilet. The school told me that was a normal occurrence, that the girl herself might have been acting out, the girl in the bathroom, by looking at him, winking, and then squatting.
Whoa. You never told me that.
Well, I don't know if that happened. They said that might have happened.
Well, that's a hell of a thing to say, Margaret.
I understand, but I'm trying to tell you how it is. But you need to understand, the big man gets his big woman, and they have the big kid. Well, that's what happens here, but my son... You know, I forgive me for saying this. I don't want to see my son saddled with this big girl.
And well, he's only 13. I don't think that there's anything permanent, you know.
If he has an acting career ahead of him, he becomes a father, and he's married to a real big woman. And so... The lawsuit basically is about the intentional infliction of emotional cruelty, because she comes up to him saying, I want to be, and the other thing that Jason told me is, this girl has a tendency to eat Cheetos for lunch. So she has that orange smear around her mouth, and she's looking at him very unkempt, and I think it frightens him.
I want to know, Margaret, though, more about the girl that your son followed into the bathroom.
This is a normal thing for a boy to do when he's frightened.
To follow another girl into the girls' room and watch her go to the bathroom.
He was trying to. I don't know if he was able to. He got up and was looking over the stall.
And I think if the school said to you that, well, she might have looked up, winked, and squatted, and she didn't, that's irresponsible, man. That's if I was the father of that girl, I might go ballistic like this other guy. 877-876-PHIL. Here's Jackie in Houston, Texas, listening to us on KPRC. Hello, Jackie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Margaret, I cannot believe that you are defending your son going into the women's restroom. You can call them girls or whatever you want.
It's a girl's restroom.
Your son followed a girl into the bathroom. I would take that child and beat his ass. I cannot believe that you're blaming some other 13-year-old girl that he's scared of for his inappropriate behavior.
Well, what you would do doesn't necessarily mean that's good mothering or good parenting.
Whatever. Let me tell you, I've got three daughters.
Not whatever.
I'm sure you beat all three of them very well. But if I had a boy
come in and follow them
into the bathroom, I would beat their ass. And my daughters would beat their ass.
If you left a mark on them, you'd be arrested. I don't know what year you live in, but you don't beat children anymore.
The second thing I would say to you, you don't let them misbehave and do whatever the hell they want either.
You don't beat children.
You don't beat children.
No, you don't beat children.
You don't let children behave inappropriate. And when
what you are counseling is worse than what my son did.
There is nothing worse than allowing a child to misbehave without consequences.
Yes, there is something worse than beating that child, and you've done something worse than what my son would have done. You beat a child. There is nothing wrong with giving a child a spanking.
There is nothing wrong with it.
I'm sure that your father had a spanking. You said beating, not spanking.
Well, let me tell you, beating is done with a closed fist. If my children ever did something that was as defiling as following another person into the bathroom to watch them go to the bathroom, that is such a nasty...
Are you trying to tell me that you would beat a child just for looking over the stall door?
A 14-year-old boy, you bet your ass I would.
And what if he beat you back?
He better not.
Wait a minute. We're getting far afield here, ladies. You know.
No, I just wanted to, she's talking the talk. I don't know if she walks the walk.
Crazy. What do you mean walks the walk?
Well, you sound like you're all this. If that boy turned around and kicked your ass, what would you do then?
Well, you know what? 14-year-old boy who's been trained how to behave in social...
Let's stick to the point.
He should never have followed that girl to the bathroom.
And that's the point here, Margaret. I mean, let's forget about who's beating who.
This woman said she would beat a child if the child looked through a stall door because he wanted to get a laugh.
No. She's talking about...
No, that's exactly what she's talking about. If a kid looks through a stall door for a laugh, she'd beat that kid bloody. And I think that's—I don't know what to make of that.
Well, look at the whole point that we're making here is that this is as weird a piece of behavior for a little boy than it is for anybody, and for a kid to. And thanks very much for your call, ma'am. For a kid, a little boy, to look over the stall.
Are we forgetting, Phil, why I originally came on your program? This big kid is hassling my son. And
you keep calling her a big kid. Now, is that supposed to make me fear her more or fear her on behalf of your son more?
She was a very big girl, and she was with the Cheetos all over the mouth. And I don't know, Phil, if you remember back in the slave time. And Jimmy the Great got fired for this, but he was right. The plantation owner would take the big black and marry him, and they'd get a big kid.
Margaret, you're completely inappropriate. Okay?
No, I don't.
You're completely inappropriate. Your son was scared of a big girl, you say, so he acted out by looking at some other girl going to the bathroom. 877-876-PHIL. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Miss Margaret, where are you born and raised?
Yes.
Where are you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, down here in Texas, we have a tradition. If anything, we are polite. Okay? And, ma'am, I have a two-year-old.
That's not what a friend of mine said when she was in San Antonio recently, walking down the street at 11 p.m. at night. and getting whistled at by a bunch of yahoos.
Well, and I have to tell you.
Well, walking down the 11 o'clock at night, that's a little dangerous.
Well, he said that they're polite.
Yeah. Well, ma'am, I have to tell you, if anything, I work on a ranch down here in Texas, ma'am. And if anything, first thing I think, you know, when people come to visit my ranch, first thing is, boys, take their hats off in the presence of ladies. You're invited inside the home, okay? And one thing that kind of got me all fired up was, like, the lack of respect towards the women, okay? And, ma'am, I have to say that your situation...
My son doesn't wear a hat. I don't know what he's talking about.
He's talking about a young man...
My son doesn't wear a hat. I don't... What are you talking about?
Well, ma'am, it's deference to the ladies. Deference to the ladies. Okay? There are quite a few women out there...
You work on a ranch, and you work on a ranch.
Yes, ma'am.
And
I work on a ranch.
So you know the Brokeback Mountain. You know that.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, how do they show respect to other cowboys?
Well, you tip your hat to the ladies. You tip your hat to the ladies. If anything, you down here in Texas, you open the
door
for the
ladies.
What does
that mean, Brooke? She's being a smart-ass Brokeback style, okay?
I will not stand for the whole Brokeback thing. I will not stand for that.
Okay, well, you want to hang up then? Do you want to hang up then?
No.
Do you want to hang up then?
Okay. Well,
Brokeback. Jesus. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kate on the Phil. 876-PHIL. Here is Crystal on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, trying to talk about, I think that Margaret is really thinking that her son is way above doing anything wrong. And I think they both need counseling.
He's a special boy.
I'm sure you think he is, and I understand that. I think most parents want to think that their children are, you know, they can do no wrong.
I think he was a special boy if you met him.
I'm sure he is, but...
Why would anybody think that when he's been looking at a girl going to the bathroom?
He was acting out because the big kid was coming at him. I told you.
Coming at him, and he was really afraid, like you say he is, then why in the world would he follow her into the bathroom? If he was really afraid, why would he follow her into the bathroom?
He's not following this. The girl, the big kid, he's not following. He's following another girl. The big kid he's trying to get away from. And so he follows another woman or girl that he would feel more comfortable with. And in the process, he wants to know where she is. He can't find her, so he looks at all. There she is, sitting on the toilet.
That's not what you said originally. You said he was trying to look at her.
Well, he wants to see what she's doing.
Because he's nervous about what?
He doesn't want the big kid coming at him.
And so this girl represents what? Like a...
It's a bonding. It's a kind of a bonding for protection.
A bonding of protection?
Well,
so he's going to follow any girl into the bathroom. Any girl, whether it's a big girl... Any other girl?
No. Well, he wouldn't follow any girl. She'd have to be a girl that he could relate to.
So
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, that doesn't mean anything. He's not going to follow a big girl.
Margaret.
Why do you say that?
Have counseling. He could turn out to be a sexual offender. If he's doing that kind of thing, you need to have counseling for him. If you've got the money.
If you have
the money, you say you do. Then you need to get your son into counseling. Period.
The problem is that the big kid...
Oh, here we go with this big kid. Will you knock it off already? We already know about this girl, and you haven't said anything the girl has done that's so egregious other than the fact that she eats Cheetos for lunch and she's got that orange stuff on her mouth.
It frightens my son, all right? When he sees this big girl in a plaid dress coming at him with an orange mouth, it frightens him. And it would frighten either one of you as well. And I don't really know what my son has to do. Everyone has been calling my son a pervert. He followed a girl into the bathroom to see what it looked like. Big deal.
At the age of 13, that's weird. If he was 2, maybe. Thank you very much, Crystal, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I can't believe that she doesn't, and that whole thing that she's talking about, and they married the big guy to the big woman and got the big kid. What the hell? Jimmy the Greek once said. 877-876-PHIL. It's a Friday night on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with more from Margaret Gray. And later on, we got Dr. Ron Tarner to talk about the top prison movies of all time. Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You take the big man and you marry him to the big woman and the big...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I think it would behoove us just for a second. I want to play. This is this little girl. Her name is Jessie Leonhart. She was bullied by some kids. She was reacting in a very visceral and emotional way. And the thing that was really disturbing is hearing the parents jumping in. I think this child could have certainly been helped if she'd had parents who were a little smarter. Let's just listen. This is this baby reacting to getting harassing at school. She created this video, and then here comes her dad, who I understand he may be feeling very protective of his daughter because of what happened to that girl in Missouri. But I don't think they're doing a kid any favors.
Okay, you guys, this is Jesse's letter, and
you
I
know
just
what?
Want to say that you guys have ruined my life.
First, I'm going to tell you right now, this is from her father. You bunch of lying, no good punks, and I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it. And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police and the state police.
You're right.
So you better write one more thing or screw with my computer again. You'll be arrested. End of conversation from her father.
Man, oh, man.
Well, Phil, I understand that father's emotion, although I agree with you that I don't think it was the best way to handle that. When I heard that Jason Jay was being bullied by and cyberbullied by a big kid, by a big girl, covered in all of that Cheeto dust and the things that boys are frightened of, I really breathed a sigh of relief when the school called me and said that they caught him in the girls' room, because I knew he had to act out. And I asked Jane Ellencourt, who is the dean of discipline, I said, now, was he looking at a girl going to the toilet? They said, yes. I said, no big thing. They said, probably not. So I said, well, he got it out of his system.
So you knew that what he was going to do?
I knew. Phil, I know men. I know what you guys do when you get nervous. You get out the telescope and you start looking through any bedroom window you can find. It's perfectly normal.
No, it is not perfectly normal. And no, I don't do that. I don't do that.
Well, maybe you handle pressure better.
No, I don't particularly handle pressure very well. Not at all. 877-876-PHIL. Here's Sharon in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Sharon, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Margaret, I just can't believe...
Yes, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I cannot believe that you will allow that to happen. You're creating a problem for him in the future when it comes to women
and
spying.
What kind of problem? What kind of problem?
Think about it. If you letting him know that it's okay to peep, guess what? He's going to meet the same peep and Tom that you just talked about.
Do you honestly, don't you think, you're a woman, don't you think it's normal for men that when they're under a lot of pressure, I've heard of guys putting cameras in outhouses.
Let me tell you.
Oh, come on.
Margaret.
Yes?
My daddy is 6'6". My mom is 6'4". I am 6'5".
Yeah.
If he were to come in the bathroom on me, I would have beat the tar out of him because that's what my daddy raised me to.
But I told you he was frightened of the big girl that was coming at
him. You think he would have been frightened then? If he would have came in the restroom on me, you haven't seen frightened. He would have been like a cat with the hair standing up on him.
But he was acting out.
And
acting out with a
I love it. All of a sudden, it's funny, Mr. Henry. Is it funny?
That was a very funny line.
It's funny. If a 6'5" woman, because you beat my son, you'd beat my son within an inch of his life. Because all he was doing was
touching my body. You don't have no business looking at my
body. Who said he was touching your body? No one's touching your body.
I'm letting you know the golden rule. I'm letting you know the golden rule.
Try to get a look.
Look it. You, Margaret, by the way, as long as we have Sharon on the line, quoted Jimmy the Greek about the big slave.
I'm not talking about the modern African-American. I'm talking about the slave.
That was complete crap then, as it is now.
But this girl just said she has a big father, a big mother, and she's big.
And my brother's a big. And they're 300
pounds. Your brother's a bitch?
Her brother's big. It has to do, Margaret, with the genetics. It has to do with the family trait. You know, my stepson has brothers that are all about 5'11", and Chris is 6'3". He's got big people on his grandmother's grandfather's side.
That's really interesting, Phil. I just hear that the hour is out now, so we've run out of time listening to you tell it.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that we were up.
Phil.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Phil Hendry.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, people need to just shut the
We're on a terrible track right now, not just with respect to national security.
I feel very, very confident, even more so now that we have been there and had the presentation.
I love you.
It's not cool, it's not funny.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is a bitch on this here show. And we'll take you right on through that looking glass every night to find it. PhilHendryShow.com is our website. It is also the official home of the Phil Hendry Show on the World Wide Web. It is also considered by some to be one of the funniest websites on the web. Why, witness PC World, that gave us honorable mention in their magazine. And we have there as well the largest repository of archival radio material from our show in the world. So you can listen to Phil Hendry back 15 years, listen to the evolution of the show and how we do the show. You can now watch the show, and that is by getting a backstage pass. You can see us doing our show live every night on our video stream. Listen to the video and as well as the audio, and download the audio the next day. Download these shows as much as you want. And watch our five-day video archives over there at philhendryshow.com. Pick up a BSP. Get with it. 877-876-PHIL. Fox 411, which is the entertainment and gossip blog of Fox Television, has come up with its best prison movies, 11 of the best prison movies. Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory will be joining us here in just a moment to talk about this this list of prison films and Fox News in general as it has evolved over the years. Is it a politically charged network? Is it an editorially skewed network? Is it a right winger's dream over there? And what have the best prison movies got to do with all of that, Dr. Tarner? Good evening and welcome to our show.
Hey, Phil, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Had a wonderful time. I'm still getting bail about my last appearance with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Fox 411, the entertainment and gossip blog, starts off here. What is it about prison movies? Law-abiding citizens love them, even if we never glimpse the inside of a prison cell. Maybe it's the taste of forbidden fruit we get from entering the world of criminals, or maybe it's our desire to see justice done. You have another take on prison movies, don't you?
I do have a different take on prison movies, Phil, and my take is that it is the perfect pair for a television network, Fox Television Network, and the Fox News Channel, which does carry this agenda that is a ultra-conservative agenda, and some might say an ultra-right-wing agenda, and celebrates a system the American prison system, where rape is institutionalized, where the abuse physically of inmates is institutionalized, where murder, I think in some instances, is institutionalized, that only Fox Television can find something redeeming in that by publishing a best prison movies list. And my colleagues and I, who are part of an organization of scientists nationwide, as well as scientists from around North America and the world, have pooled our resources to say that in the name of science and in the name of the education of our young people, the celebration of an institution where rape and beating and murder is institutionalized by way of film is no way to celebrate the American attempted justice. And these films, I think, more than exhibit that.
All right, well, look, I mean, all these are prison movies, you know.
All they are prison movies, and let's take them one at a time. In Shawshank Redemption, there is rape. In Cool Hand Luke, they talk about attempted rape. In The Great Escape, that's a war movie, which, by the way, I have nothing against the American men and women of World War II, but The Great Escape, the movie that they made, is completely erroneous. It's not based on anything factual.
Well, there was a Great Escape.
No, I know there was a Great Escape, but the film doesn't reflect it at all.
In what way?
Well, there was nobody running a motorcycle.
Okay, so the Steve McQueen character is a little fanciful. Then we have Bridge on the River Kwai.
Well, the Bridge on the River Kwai is also loosely based on fact, but again, it's a film where men are together, and they are forced into a sort of an affection for each other.
And are you talking about all of these films having to do with rape?
No, I'm not talking about all of them having to do with rape, but I think it's unnatural to celebrate penal system or systems of punishment or imprisonment. I don't particularly have a problem with Bridge on the River Kwai or The Great Escape, because those were prison camps run by the Japanese and the Nazis, and I'm not talking about them right now. I'm talking about the American penal system, which, as it turns out, is a penal system that does endorse torture.
Well, it doesn't officially endorse torture.
It doesn't officially endorse torture. It's institutionalized torture. And Fox Television, and this is really the big point of what I'm trying to make. Fox Television, which has wrapped a flag around Rupert Murdoch and every one of their hosts, they have essentially taken an American flag and cocooned their host in the American flag, now celebrates men and women being incarcerated and forced into unnatural situations, sexually and as well as other ways, and this to Fox is something to be celebrated.
What do you say to somebody who may say to you, "Why don't you relax and get a life? They're just prison movies."
You know, there's no phrase I like better than "get a life." I like that. When someone says to me "get a life," it means I'm onto something. It means that I have touched them in a place where I have pushed a button with them. I love it.
I got to tell you, Ron, it sounds to me like you're making a big deal out of nothing here. Okay?
Why do you say that?
While what you say is true about the American prison system, there's no question that the American prison system, in many ways, if it continues to sort of look the other way when rape is committed and these beatings that you're talking, there's no question. There's no question that that's a disgrace, and we have to address that. But these films tend to be, for law-abiding citizens, very escapist in nature.
Escapist in nature, Phil, you know...
Let me just finish. And they're very fanciful. And, for instance, The Green Mile is even a film that is almost fantasy-like.
And what do you mean?
Well, they got a mouse that lives to be 150.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I know what you're saying. You're saying... that people enjoy these films and they lose themselves in the films and don't really see the reality of what's going on in prison. But that's the whole point that I'm making here. Fox Television is rolling out a list of prison movies that Fox is taking very lightly and that they want you to take very lightly because, as far as Fox is concerned, the whole notion of prison and what happens in prison should be covered up and should not be discussed. And we should all think that in prison there's a mouse that lives to be 150, and there are and there's no rape, and there's a guy playing with a baseball.
Playing with a baseball.
In The Great Escape, which you asked me.
Oh, The Great Escape. Yeah.
So, but this is Fox TV wrapping itself in the American flag again. Fox is it's a very slippery organization, Fox TV. And in order to get them, in order to call them on the carpet for the despicable things they've done, I've kept an eye on that network. And it's difficult. But when I saw this list of prison movies, I knew that I had found my holy grail. And I can hang my hat on this one. There's not a lot you can do when it comes to Fox Television.
And all right, well, you just said something there. You've been looking to skewer Fox, right?
I know I'm looking to expose Fox for what they are, a far right-wing propaganda bill.
All right. And you couldn't find anything until they came out with these prison movies. Don't you think that this list of prison movies is a little weak?
No, I do not think it's weak. What do you mean by weak?
I mean, to say that Fox is endorsing a system of torture by listing all these great prison movies.
No, I do not think that it's weak at all. Do you think that it's weak to say that Fox, by talking about how wonderful Shawshank Redemption is, by talking about how wonderful Cool Hand Luke is, by talking about how wonderful The Green Mile is, Cage, Concrete Jungle, that you think that they're not endorsing a system of rape and torture? I would dare say, Phil, that you will have very few people who would agree with you on that one.
We'll find out. I want to give our number out here. It is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Dr. Ron Turner. And Dr. Turner, along with scientists from around North America, have an organization that looks into the education of the American people and the American our American youth as well. And he feels that Fox Network is endorsing a system of rape and torture by these top 11 prison movies. See, prison, all I'm saying is prison movies seem to be something that people enjoy.
Well, people have got to stop enjoying prison movies. You think that these prison, you think it's Jimmy Cagney and Edward G. Robinson and them. It is a graphic celebration of brutality, and Fox Television is trying to say that's okay with them. And I think I got them. I think I got them dead to rights, and I got them. And to us, this is a smoking gun for Fox.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Does Fox TV, by promoting great prison movies, have they shown themselves to be endorsing a system of torture, rape, and beating? 877-876-PHIL. We're on here with Dr. Ron Turner, and this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Make me look like an ass.
I'm not doing that.
Yes, you are.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Dr. Ron Turner. The 11 best prison movies of all time, a list created by Fox 411 for their blog, inspired the curiosity of Dr. Turner and an organization called, and we didn't give the name of the organization because I wanted you to explain it, the Sisters?
That is correct, Phil.
Why are you called the Sisters?
Well, I'll tell you why we call ourselves the Sisters, because we are concerned with the brutality that is endorsed by the right-wing network of Fox in these films. The Sisters was the name of these predatory homosexuals in the film Shawshank Redemption, who eventually rape repeatedly the Robbins play, the character played by Tim Robbins, until one of the sisters is then sent, I believe he's beaten by a guard, and then he's sent to the hospital. The reason why we call ourselves the sisters is in an anti-prison movie way. We are keeping an eye out. We are aggressive and we're predatory, but we're not violent homosexuals. Using the term the sisters reminds people of that movie. They'll ask, well, why did you call yourself that?
See, I forgot about that. I didn't even know. That's weird, though. You're a group of scientists.
That is correct, yes. But this is our way of tapping into the culture and educating the culture, because we see people. Phil, you're always talking about check your sources. You're always talking about what's the source. Well, Mr. Henry, I am telling you the source of this list is Fox Television, a right-wing, conservative, controlled network endorsing these film like Shawshank Redemption, which celebrates prison rape.
And I've got to disagree with you. Shawshank Redemption doesn't celebrate it by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, whatever you call it, the people who seem to be enamored of that film watch it over and over and over again. And I consider that to be very weird. Real weird.
Well, and some people may think you calling your organization the Sisters is weird.
No, that, Mr. Henry, is a way for us to acknowledge the power of that film. Our organization is as powerful as the Sisters in that movie, but we fight for good.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call in Houston. Robert, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, please.
All right, thanks for having me. Hi.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, whatever your name is, I think you're reading into it farther than, are you just trying to stir up the mess of Fox? And I think you got a few screws loose. First of all, I think it's pretty funny you named your organization.
Well, you know, I could say your name is what, Mary, or whatever your name is. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, why do you think I got a few screws loose?
Well, let's
not do that.
Well, he says, Doctor, whatever your name is. I mean, that you have to be pretty stupid if you don't know a name that's been repeated over and over again.
Well, my phone's breaking up, and I've been sitting on hold.
Yeah, he's having a hard time. Go ahead, Robert, and you can answer.
So, first of all, you're reading into it way farther. All those movies have been played on all the other news channels, ABC, NBC, first of all.
No.
Cool Hand Luke, I grew up watching Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, but so, that may be true, but they didn't call it the best movie. I don't see a list of MSNBC.
Why wouldn't they be? Wouldn't that movie be considered one of the best movies? I'm sure. I mean, Shawshank Redemption, didn't it win some awards?
If you wanted to celebrate prison movies and prison rape, I suppose you'd list that as a great movie. But there's only one network that does that. One network that celebrates prison movies, and that's the Fox TV network. And nobody else listed, hey, here's some great rape movies.
No, wait a second. You're calling these rape movies. We're looking at a list of films that includes not only Shawshank Redemption, but the Cool Hand Luke.
All right. What about the rape scene in that?
There's no rape scene in Cool Hand Luke at all.
Well, there's a man. What about the guy
that
says any man that plays?
With problems, issues with being raped. No, I think you're actually
wouldn't
good
you?
Movies that keeps you.
Well, wouldn't you? Are you telling me you don't have an issue
well,
with it?
First of all, I ain't putting myself in a position to go to jail. And, you know, yeah,
I don't think that.
Rape, but I doubt that's the reason why
I think people. Are you saying that you endorse the American prison system the way it is that allows men to get raped?
No, it's definitely jacked up. But you know what? Just because Fox is making the movies of prisons, I mean, nominations of the best movies don't mean that they're endorsing the rape. Come on, man.
Well, why? Then what are they endorsing? They're endorsing American prisons where there's...
Spike TV,
let me
has,
tell you something.
Spike TV has channels that guys, movies for guys that who like movies. You know, it might be about race cars or whatever. So, what is it?
Well, that's fine. That's fine. That's not about torture. That's not about rape. And let me tell you, in December
I go to a minimum security facility here in California for non-payment of child support. I'm sorry that I did that. I apologize. I'm going to
Are you going to prison?
I'm going to. Can I just finish? Because this guy just said, is that why I'm making a big deal? I'm afraid of getting my butt raped. I am going to a minimum security facility, and I'm bringing up this. I was not going to bring this up at all, but I saw this list today, and I thought, now's the time, because I have the moral ascendancy to say something about this.
Are you going to prison?
Boy, I just said a whole bunch. Did you hear everything that I said? And all you could think of, are you going to prison?
I'm just asking the question. Are you going to prison?
I'm going for 6 months, yes.
To a minimum security facility. Where's that?
I don't want to say.
Okay. And it just so happens that you're also taking exception to these prison films.
Yes, that is correct, Phil. And the sisters are an organization that would have been here with or without me.
All right, Robert, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Alex in Los Angeles. Alex, you're on. Oh, wait a minute, Alex. Hold the line, and we have to take a break. We'll get right back to you. We're talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner. And Dr. Tarner is with the Sisters, an organization of scientists who are opposed to the celebration in film of prison films. Now, it just so happens that his organization is named after three predatory homosexuals in The Shawshank Redemption. He says that Fox Television is celebrating the American penal system, a system of torture and rape. And on top of everything else, he now tells us that he's going to jail in December for non-payment of child support. I don't get it. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What's about the
kid? Phil Hendry.
Look, they can sound like a mystery.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're back here with Dr. Ron Tarner. We're talking about the top 11. It's a list that was made here by Fox 411, the top 11 prison movies of all time. I don't know why it came out now. It could be that it's the summer. We're right in the middle of summer. People love films. They're watching a lot of movies. And this particular list has The Shawshank Redemption on it, Cool Hand Luke, The Great... Now, some of these films, you have to agree, Ron, have nothing to do, in my opinion, with the prison you're talking about.
Well, that is correct, but I think we get sidetracked if we talk about that. I think the essential point is that Fox Television, Fox TV, a right-wing controlled network, propagandizing violence and literally propagandizing the idea that violence is good, is now coming out with a list of prison movies. And we all know what happens in prison. And I brought up the fact that I'm going to be remanded to custody in December to a minimum security prison in California because of non-payment of child support for a reason. The reason why I brought that up is I don't want people thinking that I'm talking about this just because I'm going into prison. I've always felt that Fox Television is a right-wing propaganda mouthpiece. I would say again, as I did in a letter to Fox, that if I could get into a segregated unit at, all right, I'll say it, San Luis Obispo, Ben's Colony, that I would be happy to ratchet down, if you will, our efforts.
Wait. You're going to be going to the men's colony at San Luis Obispo.
That's correct, yes.
And you now are saying you want to get into a segregated unit there so that what? So that you don't, you're not subject to any violence?
No, that's got nothing to do with it. Because Lindsay Lohan gets a segregated unit, because Vince Neil and Motley Crue got into a segregated unit, because a lot of these, Morton Downey Jr. Got...
You mean Robert Downey?
Robert Downey got into a segregated unit. I feel that I have enough celebrity to get into a segregated unit, and if I do, I can disband the Sisters, and we won't continue to harp on this.
The Sisters is the organization of scientists, I want to let people know, that is opposed to these kinds of violent films and right-wing propagandizing. And you call yourselves the Sisters after the three predatory homosexuals in Shawshank Redemption.
That is correct.
I got to tell you, your message is very, very complex and confusing. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, whatever is confusing, Mr. Ritter, I'd be happy to explain it to you.
That's fine. Alex in Los Angeles, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Fine.
So, Dr. Ron, you know, I have to say that in terms of glorifying violence and who makes these violent movies.
Yeah, we lost him. So the point is that what he was going to say was that liberals make those movies.
Liberals make the movies, but it is the conservatives that are supporting it, Phil.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're with Dr. Ron Tarner here as we talk about the best prison movies, and this off of the list from Fox 411. Now, The Great Escape is not a prison movie.
Well, it's a prisoner of war movie, yes.
All right, and I wouldn't call that's not an American prison movie. Bridge on the River Kwai is not an American prison movie, that's a war movie. My Cousin Vinny, that's not even a prison movie.
The problem with My Cousin Vinny is it makes reference to rape, and they think it's funny, and they laugh.
The movie's a comedy, My Cousin Vinny. I don't know. And then Stalag 17, which is not a prison movie. That's another World War II prisoner of war movie. The Green Mile, that's a prison movie.
But the Green Mile film is an example of a film that has a lot of racial undertone. And in that film, an African-American is murdered. He got the death penalty, but they gave him the death penalty with a dry sponge, which you're supposed to keep wet.
And be in the electric chair.
That's correct.
All right, and the next one is Caged, and these are a couple of female sexploitation prison movies. Again, I don't think anybody is going to get all that wound up about it.
Well, Phil, I think you're wrong. We are here, and we will be here until early December when I have to report for processing, and we will be talking about these prison movies. And
but you want to get into a segregated something or other.
Segregated housing.
At the men's colony in San Luis Obispo, and you'll disband the Sisters.
Yes, and can I ask you a little bit of a question?
Go ahead.
You made these comments about the Sisters.
And I think it's just a weird name, that's all. When you talk about
what's weird about it?
It's the Sisters is the name of those three guys that were the guys that beat up Tim Robbins in the movie. And they were, as you said, predatory homosexuals.
Yes, but we're not predatory homosexuals. We are opposed to prison rape.
So why would you call yourself the Sisters? On top of that, you're going into prison and you didn't tell me about that. And on top of that, you got something here about I don't know what, man. You want to go into segregated housing and then you'll call the whole thing off. Ron, you know, like that kid said, maybe you're just afraid that this is going to happen to you.
Wouldn't you be afraid of that? And I don't have any problem admitting to that. Of course I am. But that has nothing to do with why I'm on your program tonight.
No, you're on my program tonight to what? To talk about how Fox 411 shouldn't be talking about Shawshank Redemption, The Bridge on the River Kwai. Most of these flicks, as I said, are prisoner of war movies. They have nothing to do with prison movies.
Mr. Henry, when I first came on your program tonight, you said that, basically you said whatever, and I told you that whatever was my food. That's my fuel. If I get whatevers, I turn that into raw protein. So I am not put off by your boredom, nor am I put off by, are there any phone calls?
For you?
No, for you. Yes, for me.
No, there's none. Nobody wants to talk to you.
Nobody wants to talk to me. They want to talk to you?
Yeah, they might want to talk to me. They don't want to talk to you because they don't believe you, man, because they think you're full of crap, because they like Shawshank Redemption, and because they're not interested in getting you into segregated housing at the men's colony at San Luis Obispo when you go inside in December for non-payment of child support.
And they think I'm a hypocrite because I am against prison movies, even though I'm going into prison. I'll explain to you that that is not hypocrisy. That's courage. I have the guts to say I don't want to get raped in prison. Forget it. That came out wrong.
Yeah, that came out wrong, all right. I don't like these guys hanging up.
What do you want me to do? I don't know if they're going to hang up or not.
Every time they get stuck, they hang up. I have the courage to say I'm going to prison and I don't want to get raped. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more news, including this Arizona immigration law. Will it ever just settle down, go away, get recalled, something? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, Atlanta, WCFO, 1160 AM, and our affiliate spotlight tonight. And this is like the 50th time we've been spotlighting Bozeman, Montana. I guess you guys feel special there. KBOZ, let's get something other than Bozeman up. If you'll pardon the expression, KBOZ 1090 AM in Montana. Maybe they're a new affiliate. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. And I just got a request to do an interview in Canada.
Yeah, I did one.
I know. And this is from the sister station of the station that we're on in Canada. I tell you what you guys ought to do is put me on the air there. How about that? So we're on in Toronto, and this is in London, Ontario. So we'll be on in the Toronto station, and then we'll be on the London, Ontario station. See, that's two different markets, isn't it? And we'll be on two stations. That's not a bad idea. The Arizona immigration law, I guess, is the big news. And, oh, God. 6 days before Arizona's new immigration law is set to take effect, the fate of the controversial legislation rests with a federal judge who on Thursday heard from Obama administration lawyers seeking to stop its enactment. Although Judge Susan Bolton made no ruling after a 90-minute hearing in which Justice Department attorneys argued the law interferes with federal powers, some of her remarks led backers and opponents of the law to draw their own conclusions.
What's that mean?
I don't know. It's the dullest story in the history of the world, this Arizona immigration story that's so dull. If it's unconstitutional, then they got to look at whether it's unconstitutional or not, I guess. Here is in an interview with Greta Van Susteren, Jan Brewer says she thinks the law will survive the legal challenge.
I feel very, very confident, even more so now that we have been there and had the presentation. It was very well done, and I'm very, very confident of Judge Bolton. She seems to have a very, very good grasp of the issues, and I thought that it went very, very well. I feel very confident.
How do you feel about it? Phoenix attorney Antonio Bustamante told demonstrators gathered outside amid a heavy police presence that it seemed as if the judge might let stand a portion of the law that requires local and state authorities to determine whether a person is in the country illegally. That's the most egregious, he said. Let me ask you something there, Mr. Bustamante. What if they determined that the federals had to take over the border, which that's what the Constitution says, that the federal government is in charge of the border. That's why everybody's got a problem. That's why, ostensibly, a lot of these people have a problem with it. But the feds ain't going to do nothing about it. But let's say the feds did do something about it. Let's say the federals took over the border and started to enforce and did exactly the same stuff that the state's doing. Then what would you say?
Then they want to have a constitutional amendment or something.
Yeah, they have to change the Constitution.
They ain't going to change the Constitution. See, the mood of the country is very simply this. I know that it probably upsets a lot of people. The mood of the country, the mood of the American people, although it doesn't necessarily stand with federal law, as in the federal charter, the Constitution, I'm not sure. I don't know. The mood of the country is what Arizona did is a good thing. Now, that's the mood of the country. And it doesn't fall down necessarily along racial lines. It falls down along these lines, Americans and non-Americans, or maybe Americans and Americans of European and African ancestry and Americans of Hispanic. See, the African-American people I talk to, black people I talk to, this ain't no liberal issue where, okay, let's get all the blacks, let's go. Come on, it's a liberal, let's get the blacks in line. Black people are split down the middle on this one big time. So let's not start counting those chickens before they're hatched. Black folks, in fact, tend to be in favor of this law. Probably even more emotionally in favor of this law than white people are. Because if ever there was a segment of our society that got pushed out of more jobs by some new guy coming off a boat, it was black folks.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? You talk about what?
What do I mean? What am I talking about? Wait, are you kidding?
No.
I'll say it again. Black people, of all Americans, suffered the most because of immigration, both legal and illegal. They got shoved out of jobs left and right. I give you the esteemed Frederick Douglass. You know who he was, right?
Yeah. That was who I was telling you about.
Frederick Douglass, he's black.
Yes, he's black. Are you guys, what do you mean that's what he was...
I'm trying to remember the name of that one guy that looked like Abraham Lincoln, but he's black.
Looked like Abraham Lincoln, but he's black. I wouldn't say that he's... No. Frederick Douglass said, wherever we go, we get pushed out of every part of the city. He was talking about New York. He says, everywhere we go in this city, we get pushed out by some new wave of immigrant, as if we never existed, as if we don't even... As if we're invisible. We've been here longer than any of these people. And every time somebody new comes, they shove us out of every corner of this city.
But who are you talking about?
When he wrote that, he was talking about the Irish. And he's right. He was right. When it comes to immigration, while we want it honorable and we want it legal and we want to make sure that people are treated well and that everybody has a piece of the pie and blah, 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 yada, 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 and everybody just sweet and loving on each other and it's a great country, that's fine. That's great, you know. But we got some people to take care of here. And when I look at this immigration law and people think that this has to do with some right-wing agenda, this is beyond that. This has to do with Americans, many of them generations and generations and generations deep in this country, who recognize that there needs to be law when it comes to the borders. So this guy Bustamante can talk all he wants about how the state and the locals are doing this and that. But what if the federals do it, man? If you don't like the state doing it, if you don't like the locals doing it, if you don't like the local cop coming up and asking you for your driver's license, I understand that. What if the federals start enforcing this at some level?
Yeah, how are they going to do that, though? The driver's license is not...
Yeah, that's a good point.
How are they going to do it? I don't know. Maybe taxes. I don't know how they would do it. I don't know how the federals... They would have to do it in terms of their enforcement at the border.
Yeah, but how are they going to do it when people are here?
Well, that's where ICE comes in, see? That's where all these federal... No local cops. Then ICE and the rest of them, the immigration naturalization people, they become like a federal police agency, I guess. I don't know. Doing the same stuff, you know? I don't want to say anything, sir, but you look Mexican. Could I see your documentation? Wait a minute. I'm not. I happen to be Jewish. Well, too late now. I still need to see your documentation. So,
what do you mean look Jewish, man? If people say that, they're being profiled, and so someone will stop them and look at their papers, right?
That's what they're afraid of. That's what they're afraid of. Yeah, they're afraid that just because I look Hispanic, I'm walking down the street, someone will say I am suspect because of my looks. And that's what people are afraid of. Okay.
All right. Black people have had to put up with that for a long time. Look at that. Black suspect, see? So I think a Mexican do it too.
No, man, that's not it, you know?
You know, I keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again.
It's true. We don't want to do that. My point has always been that if you think you're going to be profiled, right? If you believe that this is a racist law because it will lead to profiling, I believe that somebody who believes that thinks that cops are stupid. I think you're profiling cops. I think you put cops into the category of dumb and racist. Now, I realize it's not an ethnicity. It's a profession. I realize it's got nothing to do with, you know, one's origins, one's physiology, nothing like that, one's orientation or race. But a cop is a cop. It's a profession. And to say that this law is racist, why? Because cops will wind up profiling people, and they will wind up putting people in jail like that. I say, oh, so you think cops are stupid and racist? Yeah, you know, that really, all you got to do is lay that on people, okay?
Yeah, well, all you do is cause a fight. Yeah,
that's exactly right. You're going to cause a fight. That's a good fight to have.
Yeah, but I did that one time. And a guy said, I said to a guy, well, you, just like you said, I said, oh, he says the cops are going to profile. And I said, yeah, because you think cops are stupid. You must hate cops. And the guy goes, I don't think, yeah, I don't like cops. And I go, yeah, I know. And he goes, how'd you know? I said, because of what you said. Or I mean, because of what you said. And then he goes, yeah, but how did you know? And I said, because you said that.
All right, I get it, man. God.
What are you doing, man? Write a book?
God, man. How long is the story going to take?
Well, then, no, but then he said, no, but what he said was,
I get it, bud. You had almost had a fight with a guy, right?
Yeah.
Because the guy said he didn't like cops.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, there you go. I mean, you're going to scratch somebody that deep. Anybody that says to you, this is going to lead to profiling, and then you say to them, oh, because you think cops are stupid, they're going to say no. You're going to say, well, if it leads to profiling, then you are going to, you have to believe that cops are stupid. Well, I don't mean all cops. Well, how many do you mean? Do you mean in the majority? Do you mean in the minority? Do you mean, what are you talking about here? I mean, one or two is too many. That's what they're going to do. They're going to back it all the way down there. Nobody wants to say they don't like cops. But the fact is, if you say that this law leads to profiling, what you're saying is cops are stupid. Cops are going to profile. And you probably are saying, well, I don't want to say, but anybody that says that to me sounds like they got a hard time with cops. Or maybe they just don't, you know, maybe they think it's cool to say you don't like cops.
I think it's cool to say you don't like cops. I don't like cops either. But I don't think they're stupid, you know.
All right, well, maybe that's good. You don't like cops, but at least you know that they're not dumb. So anyway, that's the Arizona immigration law. And then Rage Against the Machine wants in on the act. I'm not sure why. They're going to, quote, rock out against the racist, the, quote, racist, end quote, Arizona. Let me do that again. Rage Against the Machine is going to, quote, rock, end quote, against the, quote, racist, end quote, Arizona immigration bill. Rage Against the Machine, a, quote, talented, end quote, band. Anyway, they're going to be playing some gig someplace that no one's going to show up at. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, they probably will. 877-876-PHIL. And if you don't show up at their gig, we do have a little something here for you. So,
no matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Yeah, right. All right, white boy.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. The 10 fastest growing centers, or careers rather, still to come. Careers.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Rage Against the Machine are playing our first show in 10 years in our hometown of Los Angeles.
I am torn.
I feel very, very confident, even more so now that we have...
We're on a terrible track right now, not just with respect to national security.
Nappy is racial.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
Not a bad idea.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is a bitch. And we'd like to thank, of course, Dr. Ron Tarner for being on with us this evening. And Margaret Gray also joined us, and she talked about the cyberbullying. That's a terrible story. That little kid, that cyberbullying case, man.
Yeah, you're really tearing you up or something.
It's not tearing me up. I just, that poor child. Kids are going to get bullied and kids are going to cry. A kid that's being tortured publicly, going through that publicly, it's brutal, you know. And And then it all goes out onto YouTube. Keep your kids off of YouTube. How about that? YouTube should only be used by the people that really know how to use it. Stupid jackasses that put, like, audio from my show to cartoons.
Yeah, man, they got a lot of your stuff on YouTube.
Jesus.
They got all-you-can-eat Negro on there. I know that.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So, yeah, leave YouTube to the professionals. Leave YouTube to the guys that take, like, leave YouTube to the guys that take the movie Downfall and mix it with, you know, party music. They take the movie Downfall and they drop in the Mel Gibson tapes, you know, the Hitler movie.
That stuff's fantastic. I love it. It's so quality.
Oh, that stuff is as... Are you kidding me or something, man? Talk about overdone.
You don't think that funny?
Yeah, you know what? You two guys would find that funny.
What about the one that I like is Mel Gibson and
Christian Bale.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
No, not Christian Bale and Mel did, and they're like on the phone talking to each other.
I heard it.
You don't think it's funny?
It's okay. But anyway, that's what I think. That's the province of YouTube. That and, you know, there's some really cool shows. But keep your kids, your children, away from it. I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to talk to my friends, and then the friends talk. And the next thing you know, your daughter, your 11-year-old or 10-year-old or 9-year-old daughter is having a nervous breakdown. Your kid is ready for the booby hatch. Because she's there talking about putting a Glock in somebody's mouth. What the hell kind of a world is this? We're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to butch it up a little bit here, man. This generation of parents, God almighty, start exercising a little bit of control. I'm not asking people to be unreasonable, and I'm not saying that we got to go back in time like these things don't exist. But you realize, you listen to that little kid, and you know what these poor kids go through. So if she wants to use the internet, that's fine, man. But YouTube, that's like sticking your face out there for the whole world to see, and then she's having an emotional breakdown. It's like sitting there like going batty like Randall McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Disney gives sneak peek of new Hawaii resort more than 80 years after Mickey Mouse piloted Steamboat Willie, if you'll pardon the expression, and whistled his way into the hearts of children across the world. He's finally reached the shores of Hawaii. The Walt Disney Company on Friday gave a peek of its sprawling beachside Hawaiian resort that is under construction and scheduled to open next year. Boy, you know what? I mean, that's such an obvious thing.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, how come they're not there?
You guys have been messing around in Florida long enough, Hawaii. I mean,
Hawaii?
I mean, Disney.
Hawaii been fooling around in Florida?
No, man. Disney's been mucking around in Florida for so long. You cats got to come out to Hawaii now. You guys are down there in the Caribbean with your Bahamas this and your something else. Hawaii! Now, that is a state where you can really charge the big $2,000 a night, you know. The place is called Aulani. It's Disney's first major standalone resort away from a theme park and could serve as a model for future projects as the company diversifies and expands its vacation offerings. Now, don't screw up. Don't do what Hefner did.
What did he do?
Hefner spread out too much, see? You remember Hugh Hefner with Playboy magazine?
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner had the magazine. Then he bought casinos. Then he bought hotels. Then he did this and then he did that. And he didn't do any of it very well. He did the magazine great. I mean, that's what Hugh Hefner is. He's a magazine publisher. But when he got into the casinos, when he got into even the Playboy clubs, that had a very limited run, that Key Club bullcrap. Very limited run. And I forget what else he did. Even the Playboy Channel, which if they jazz that up, bud, you watch all that porn.
I don't watch a lot of porn, but I did see... What do you mean? I don't watch porn at all.
Well, I know you've been watching the Playboy Channel, so don't tell me that you haven't, because I'm seeing it popping up on the bill.
Well, they have some...
They don't show nothing.
They still don't show anything? All right, so anyway. Although they do have that Girls Next Door. That's...
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But what happened was, Christine Hefner, which was Hugh Hefner's daughter, and still is, she came in, and she cleaned the whole mess up. She came in... And I don't know where she went to school. I guess she has a degree in business. And she said to her old man something that was very true. She said, "You're a great magazine publisher. Get back to publishing the magazine." And that's what he did. So he divested himself of all of that garbage, and he went back to doing what he did well, which was the magazine. See, and
Disney does a lot of great. They do like Splash Mountain and jazz like that and everything.
Yeah, but they also do a hotel.
Yeah, I know. But every time I see a guy say diversify, you know,
that just means they want to go and do like you could do other stuff besides a roller coaster. You could do like a. Like, what if they went into auto manufacturing or something?
What?
What do you mean auto manufacturing?
They could. That's what I mean.
What do you mean auto manufacturing?
If like nightlights or something like that.
What are you talking about, man? I said they do that.
No, you said diversify.
I said diversify. I said be careful of diversifying. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just what you said right there.
That's a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing, man.
Why would that be a good thing, man?
Because they're diversification.
Are you an idiot or something, man? Disney does theme parks and nightlights and auto manufacturing. That ain't Disney.
Wait a minute. Didn't you tell me that the guy that makes lamps also makes butter?
I was talking about Beatrice. That was that big company years ago. Do they still exist? I don't know. But they owned all kinds of companies. Beatrice had like, they had everything from ketchup to electronics to toys to food. I mean, they did a bunch of stuff. Furniture. They were huge, you know. I'm not talking about that. I don't think that that's a good thing for Disney to do. See, Disney got into broadcasting. Disney got into the broadcasting thing. And one of the things that Disney got into that, in my opinion, is very, very touchy is talk radio. Disney owned a lot of talk stations. Now, what's the nature of talk radio? Well, you know one thing, it's very controversial. People are going to express opinions that will make other people angry. And that's not the business of Disney. That's not what they're about. That's not what they've ever been about. And
but you tell me one time you went over on the Disney and you told them all about like a sex show or something like that.
No, it wasn't a sex show. It was ABC. And they were owned by Disney at the time.
Yeah.
And I went over and I pitched a Phil Hendry thing. It was ABC Television Network.
Yeah.
And I could see all these faces at the table, all these ABC Disney executives looking at me. It was Mount Rushmore, man.
Yeah, I want to pay money to see that.
It was Mount Rushmore. I'm going, oh, yeah. And then the other idea that I have, and I'm looking at these people just, They didn't dig it at all. So Disney can't do that. Well, they're getting into the standalone resort. All right, so they're going to do a hotel. I got to tell you something, Disney. I've stayed at your hotels. They're beautiful. There's no question they're beautiful. But I will say this. I don't think you cats do hotels all that great because your room service, just the little things like room service and maid service, it wasn't all that hot.
Where was you staying at?
We stayed over at that, what the hell's the one over there?
You're talking about that, where?
The one that looks like the California Lodge, is that it?
Yeah, I mean a Californian.
The Californian, yeah, it's over there at that damn, whatever that park is, man, with the freaking thing, California Adventure. We stayed over there, and it was a beautiful room and a beautiful whatever the hell. But, man, I come around there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon with the kids, you know, after we got done doing all this park stuff, and the room's still dirty. So that's a whole philosophy, man, to running a hotel. It's not just, you know, hi, I'm Disney, and let's do. I know you guys have beautiful hotels, and I know that you, for the most part, the hotels are nice. But if you're going to move away from the entertainment of a theme park and the other things that Disney does well, which are the movies, and now you're going to get into, like, resorts. All right. So Tom Staggs, he's the chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. This is a very special project for us. It's unlike anything that Disney has done before. At the same time, it's very like many of the things we do, he said. People scratch their heads and their you-know-whats, and then went on as the gentleman spoke, but really weren't listening to him. Alani will have 359 hotel rooms, said Tom as people walked away from him, 481 timeshare units, restaurants and a convention center, and a 15,000-square-foot spa and a massive water play area. But by then, everybody was bored. Jim Lewis, president of Disney's timeshare component, which sounds like a real winner, said Hawaii makes perfect sense. No kidding. You know, it made perfect sense 20 years ago, too. Hawaii makes perfect sense. Of course it makes perfect sense. So why were you cats insisting on all this Florida. I mean, Florida, I know the land was cheap, El Cheapo, in Central Florida when they built Walt Disney World back in the day. So it made a lot of sense then, and they got the Caribbean right there. But sooner or later, you got to wake up and smell the, I don't know, the roast pig. 877-876-PHIL. Should there be a fat tax? I don't care. Oh, wait a minute. No. I just took a look at myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, there should be either.
877-876-PHIL. Some officials in Germany think that that might be the answer. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
David G. Hall is with us. Put him up on line three.
Hey, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David?
Well, I heard you guys are talking about the Playboy radio channel on Sirius. And, Phil, with all respect to you...
Why do I always know that when you say, with all respect to you, I'm going to get slammed?
Yeah, that's true, Mr. Hall. But...
Will you hold on for a minute? I'm not going to slam you. I'm just going to tell you, you talked about the Playboy channel on Sirius, is that right?
Yeah.
Would it be interesting for you to know that it's one of the highest rated channels they got over on Sirius?
It's one of the highest rated channels? I mean, that's not interesting. I don't doubt it.
Okay, you don't doubt it. You were saying to Rance and Charles, you said that you don't get it. You like women, you like sex, but you wouldn't listen to the Playboy channel.
Well, I don't understand, man. I don't understand.
Well, let me tell you who does listen to the Playboy channel. We have a lot of guys listen to the Playboy channel. Listen to you. Guys that are on the long haul. Guys that are driving their trucks.
Truckers.
Yeah. What, do you think they don't get it? You see, when you open your mouth and you talk about truckers being a bunch of guys that are married to ugly women... And
I never said anything of the sort about truckers being married to ugly women. I was asking why, who, and where, who listens to the Playboy channel on Sirius?
Yeah, because you can't imagine anybody listening to it, and they must be ugly, or their wives are ugly. Didn't you say that? You thought that their wives must be trucked?
I didn't say their wives are trucked. Dude, you know...
Don't give me the dude. Hey, dude. I'm just trying to tell you that this is the audience that you broadcast to at night, too.
Well, I'm not... You know, here's the thing. Whoever listens to the Playboy channel, good luck, you know, have a good time. I don't listen to it, you know, and...
Why? Are you too good for it?
What's there to listen to? Look, man, you know, it's one thing to tell me that the Playboy bunnies have got a TV show. Okay, great, you can watch them. I ain't going to listen to them talking about sex. It's probably as dull as hell.
Well, the guys that listen to it, are some of America's sturdiest, hardiest guys. And Playboy has Playboy's got a morning show, too.
Where's this?
On Sirius.
You know what Sirius is doing? They're paying. I mean, Playboy is paying Sirius.
What did you just say?
I said, and I'm going to stick, I bet you money, that Playboy Channel pays Sirius so that they can air their crap.
You're telling me that Playboy, which is the solid gold imprimatur of everything masculine in America, everything male and cool, Playboy, they got to pay their way onto the air at Sirius?
Yes. You heard me right. Because that guy over there, that Karmazin, has got a bill to pay, about $500 million worth. He's got to pay it some way. And he ain't going to be paying it just saving on the salaries of a Sunday night show, putting the producers of whatever the hell on, and not paying everybody else, and putting interns on, and guys that they pulled off the street. And I hear they're even running an ad that says, if you want to do a show, call Sirius. You don't think the cat's going to pay the tab off that way, do you?
Well, I don't know why. Why would Playboy want to pay their way onto Sirius?
I don't know why they'd want to do it. I don't know why they'd want to do it. But apparently, you know, if people are listening to the show and they're getting a lot of subscribers, I guess it was a good move for Karmazin. He's getting the money from Playboy, and he's getting the subscription money because they jacked up the subscriptions because it's popular. But I don't think Playboy is necessarily getting all that much out of it. I don't know. What are they making money on that?
Well, yeah, they make money. Well, that's not advertising.
Exactly. It's not advertising. It's subscription money. They probably get a piece of the subscription money, and it doesn't amount to anything. I bet you Playboy is paying their way onto that channel, man. Playboy is, and I'll bet you some of those people that we thought were getting, I know he's still probably paying a lot of people big money.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. Playboy isn't paying their way onto that channel. Karmazan has fallen all over himself. Karmazan probably, I bet you Karmazan turned himself into some kind of a sex monkey for whoever would have him just to get that on.
Oh, come on, man.
Just to get that on that channel? You better believe he did. But I'm not here to talk to you about that. I'm just telling you. Before you put down the Playboy channel, before you put that down, remember the big, dumb jackasses that are listening to it are the same guys that listen to your show. And to me, that's very important information. I wanted everybody to know that. I was going to tell Bud, to have Bud tell you, but I decided I'd come on and tell you myself.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's get out of here. Is that it? What's he want to do, sing?
Well, maybe. You know, he likes to close out with a song.
Florida woman, close out with a song. I'm going to tell you right now, I would be surprised. Well, maybe I don't know. I can tell you that Sirius XM, the facts are these. Every time I open up some financial page someplace, there's someone somewhere saying, oh, well, you know, they really are making inroads. Sirius, oh, you know, their subscription money is up. The last I heard, these guys were going to get kicked off of NASDAQ because they can't keep their stock price above $1 a share. I guess that didn't happen. So, way to go, man. Your stock is worth more than $1 a share. That's number one. Number two, it's still $400 million. Anyway, you cut it. Now, I don't know how much, Brett. 97 cents their stock was today. Sorry, man. You didn't.
Are they going to get kicked off of the NASDAQ and everything?
Man, you sound like a retard when you said that.
No, I'm just asking.
I don't know, bud. Maybe they will. But this is, any way you cut it, this is lousy business. Lousy. And when a guy like Phil Hendry can figure it out, and I'm telling you, I am no great shakes. But when I can take a look at an industry and I can tell you what's wrong from the top all the way down to the bottom, and I'm dead right, there's something so basic about that, that if I can't be wrong, they ought to be able to see it, and they can't. Or if they can, it isn't anything they want to tackle, so they decide that they'll take their piece and they'll get the hell out while the getting's good. But that's SiriusXM. That's an example of a company so badly run, bad decisions made from the beginning to the very end, and a guy at the top of that company, Mel Karmazan, that everybody's afraid to criticize. Everyone's afraid to criticize. Here's a guy that they think, and I heard this jackass
you better watch out in case they're going to have Mel Karmazan be a hire you.
I don't care if that guy doesn't hire me. Let me tell you something, man. I wrote off being hired by that guy years ago.
Yeah, but what if he wants to?
If he wants to, he can. What do you mean, what if he wants to?
Well, if he wants to, but he won't.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to. I know that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. What if he wants to? Oh, okay. But what if he doesn't?
No.
What I'm telling you is this, man. We got to take a break. Here's a guy who comes on the Fox News channel, a business channel. He says, I've always believed the way to create wealth is by cash flow. Let me tell you how to create wealth there, Mel. It's the way you do it. Don't pay people salaries, you see. See, that's how you do it. You get people to be on your radio network for free. That's not some fancy Fox Business Channel, Sean Hannity, Neil Cavuto answer. That's just, hi, I have people working for free. Oh, no overhead. Yes. Okay, I'll try it, man. It's fantastic. The 10 fastest growing careers up next, world famous Phil Hendry Show, 97 cents a share. Let's buy some.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Go find a link to SiriusXM, bud.
Okay, what are you going to do? You going to spend all day talking about that?
I'll talk about what I want to talk about. I just want to see what they got on their channel, that's all. 10 fastest growing. Don't tell me what I'm going to talk about.
We're talking about SiriusXM. Mel Karmazin not going to like it.
I don't care what he likes. God, man, everybody's worried about Mel Karmazin, man. You'd swear to God the guy was, what do you think he is, man? The Grand Executioner or something? Here we go. SiriusXM. What's on Sirius? Now, they carry all these networks, and I know they have all the news. MSNBC. They got the audio from MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, CNN, and Headline News. And that's actually very, very good. If you want to, look at this. Lynn Samuels is a nice lady, and she's on Sirius. It says Sirius Left, Sirius Left. I guess those are the left-wingers. And then they have Andrew Wilson and Mike Church, Sirius Patriots, Sirius Patriots. I guess that means right?
I think so.
Lynn's a nice lady, and I shouldn't. Well, I'm not going to say this.
No, come on, man. You got to say it.
Well, I met Lynn in New York. I had been doing a series of shows at the Museum of Television and Radio. We were there doing some remote broadcasts, and I thought a woman walked up to me on the street outside the museum there, and it was on 45th Street or 48th Street or 50th. It's on 50th, the Museum of Television and Radio, and it's on 50th near, I want to say it's on 50th near, like, 5th Avenue, maybe? Anyway, this woman comes up.
Oh, Phil Henry, you're just the greatest, you know?
Yeah, you thought she was a bag lady.
Oh,
did you really think it was a bag lady?
I didn't know who it was, yeah.
You thought that Lynn Sam was a bag lady on Sirius?
I thought so, yeah, only she wasn't on Sirius at the time. I think she was on WABC. So,
you thought Lynn Sam was a bag lady? Ow.
I never said that.
You were thinking it, though.
No, I was not. How dare you, man? You say something like that again, I'm going to lay you out.
That's perverted. I'm going to get out of here. Uh-huh.
God, man, how dare you say that?
You didn't say that, man.
So what's the schedule on this jack pile here? We got what's on Sirius, all right? It's got the various channels that I met. All right, here we go. We have, what the hell, video, Rogue State Nuke Danger, Hall of Fame Weekend, Jim Duquette and Casey Stern host special coverage from Cooperstown all weekend, including the induction ceremony of outfielder Andre Dawson, Jimmy Loves the Brickyard, Jersey Shore invades hits Don't Miss, Snooki, JWoww, Vinny, and Pauly D from Jersey Shore hosting the Weekend Countdown on Sirius. Of course. That's what I want to hear, man. I want to hear that pack of jackasses. I mean, those people, do you understand what reality programming is? Reality programming is watching the train wreck that a person is. It's not suddenly telling them they're a star, because it stops being reality, and then you have amateurs trying to be stars. Car Talk, Prairie Home Companion, and more. Hear all your NPR weekend favorites. American Roots Radio, let Bernie Taupin take you on a tour through American music with songs handpicked from his personal. I'm sure, you know, he's a nice man, but. All right, so there you go.
Who's Bernie Taupin?
He used to write with Elton John. He was a songwriter. He was a lyricist. He's a phenomenal lyricist. He's a great songwriter. He and Elton John.
Yeah, but what they do? Like, which one?
Goodbye, Norma Jean, and, you know, Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, and.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't know that song.
Well, no, you did Goodbye, Norma Jean.
Well, he did Candle in the Wind.
And Goodbye, Norma Jean, and Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Goodbye.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's called Candle in the Wind. It's not Goodbye, Norma Jean. A very nice guy, and I met him in Miami years and years ago. As a matter of fact, I've told the story before. I had him on the air along with, at that time, he was writing with Alice Cooper, Bernie Taupin. And he was with, yeah, she was with Elton John through Rocket Man, all that stuff. But by the late 70s, he was writing with Alice Cooper. And we interviewed them, and then we went outside. They were leaving. They were going to get in their limo and split. And in those days, you know, we'd get a lot of kids who'd gather at the radio station because they would hear the interview on the air and they'd want to come to the station and meet the artist. And so as soon as I got done talking with Alice Cooper and Bernie Taupin, we walked outside, and there was probably about 50 or 60 kids that had gathered outside the station by this time. And we took pictures because they like to take their little publicity shots. And then they said, all right, we waved the kids forward to come up and shake hands. And, boy, I'll never forget Bernie Taupin sticking his hand out to shake hands with the kids that were coming up, and they all went right by him, and they shook Alice Cooper's hand.
Well, I would, too, man. I'm not going to talk about Bernie Taupin, anything like that.
Yeah, why would he shake that guy's hand?
Because I felt bad for the guy. How would you feel, bud? Stick your hand out.
What are you going to do?
Put your hand out like you're going to shake my hand.
Okay. Okay, so you shook Robert's hand.
Yeah. How did that make you feel?
Good.
Why?
I didn't want you to shake my hand.
You understand what I'm talking about, man? He felt very embarrassed. I felt bad for the guy. So, you know, but now he's doing this thing on Sirius, and God bless you, brother. I think I got on the sports channel here. Well, what the hell, I got Bernie Taupin on the sports channel? Oh, that's how messed up it is. All right, 10 fastest growing careers. Lyricist for Elton John is number one. Number two, I'm kidding. Number one is home health aides and personal and home care aides. That's the number one fastest growing career in America, home health aide and personal and home care aides. In other words, changing bedpans.
All right. That's fantastic, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that's really great. No, that's not changing bedpans necessarily. It's you're at home. It's a home health aide and personal and home. You know, you're helping. You're in the home. There's 103,050 jobs available. That's ranks at number 48%. Top 10 fastest growing careers in the next 8 years. Number two, computer network systems and database engineers. Systems and database engineers. That does not mean computer programmer. You're basically the guy that comes in and fixes it.
Oh.
And that is, there's about 40,000 jobs. Boy, it's kind of interesting. 40,000 jobs, 30%. What does that mean? Registered nurse, there's 103,000 jobs. Medical assistants, 21,000 jobs. Medical assistant and registered nurse are 3 and 4. Then we get to number 5, accountants and auditors. Number 6, dental assistants. Number 7, human resources, training and labor relations managers and specialists. Human resources, training and labor relations. That's going to be a very big job because we are finding it necessary more and more to understand what it is the employee and the supervisor go through in the workplace. Understanding the, you know, when you're spending 8 hours a day on your job, 8 hours a day is a long time, so you have to have make the environment conducive to working and to also being, you know, mentally healthy, so you don't want to take a carving knife to people.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, man, a guy gonna go around and kill everybody.
Right. So they have to have that'd be a better description of it. Training and labor relation managers and specialists, so your employees don't go around killing everybody. Now, the percentages by the jobs are the percentage of growth for the industry through the year 2018. So they see a 48% growth for home health care, a 30% growth for computer network systems and database engineers, 22% growth for registered nurses, 34% growth for medical assistants, 22% growth for accountants and auditors, 36% growth in that field for dental assistants, and a 22% growth for human resources, that profession we were just talking about. Then we go to number 8, management analysts. A 24% growth in jobs for management analysts. I wouldn't even be able to tell you what the hell that is.
Don't explain about it or anything like that?
Not really. A management analyst. Maybe they analyze whether or not we need management anymore.
That wouldn't take very long.
No, it shouldn't. Number 9, computer software engineers and computer programmers, 21% growth. And it stands to reason. Oh, a management analyst typically tells the company how efficient their company workers are. Oh, you know what? A friend of mine has a business in San Francisco. A friend of Maria's, actually, has a business in San Francisco. Her and her husband have been running for a long time, and they're very successful. And that's exactly what they do.
But what do they do? They go to a place where a guy works?
they'll go into any workplace and they'll spend time, you know, I don't know whether it's a couple of weeks, and they will look at the entire operation. They'll look at how the workers work. They'll look at how the management exists. They'll look at the product. They'll look at everything. And then they will assess, and then they go to you, the company owner or whoever, and they say, okay, here is how efficient we think your company could be. Here is where you are right now, and we think you can improve here, 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 and here.
I don't know, man. Now, people like that, I never trust that. I always got to find something wrong.
Well, it's a good point.
Yeah, they come in and say, oh, yeah, you messed this up, messed that up, messed this up, and then you messed that up, too.
Well, they're getting paid anyway.
Yeah, they're getting paid anyway. But, I mean, if you're getting paid and you say, oh, well, thanks for the money, but I didn't find anything wrong, your company just fine, you're going to feel like people are going to feel like it got ripped off. So if the people pay, you're going to say, well, here's something, and here's something, and here's something, you know.
Well, I don't really know how it works, man. I mean, look, if you feel that your company it could be doing better, then there's a reason why you brought those people in, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so you bring them in, and they analyze, and then they may come back and say, well, what is it that you want to do more of? Where do you feel your company could be performing better, you know?
Yeah, well, all right, if I say my company should be performing better in, like, I don't know, you know, like, let's say your show. Your show sucks. It could be performing better if you were funny.
Right. If I was funny, okay.
Yeah. And then they go, oh, yeah, you're right. He's not funny. So fire the host.
Will you guys get serious for a minute here? I'm talking about these guys will come in and say to you, your company, what would you like? Well, we want to do this, that, this, that. And they'll take a look at it. They may say, well, you know what? You are really actually performing very well in that area. However, there's a couple of areas where you're not. Or here's how we can help you become more efficient. Is there a company anywhere in the world that couldn't be more efficient? Okay? You want to talk about my company? You're damn right about that. Yes.
Well, like how?
Firing your ass. How about that?
Man, you walked right into that one.
No, I didn't.
And then finally, number 10, pharmacy technicians and aides. A 25% increase. Boy, ain't that the truth, man. You go to the ding-dang pharmacy, man, go to get your medicine, you know. And it's always like a line. So anyway, that's the 10 fastest growing gigs. And there ain't nothing in here about disc jockey, talk show host, actor, entertainer, nothing. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show. A new survey says Americans love their online technology so long as they don't have to pay for it. Well, guess what, sucker? Them days is coming to an end. I don't know. Maybe it'll get it's bound to get cheaper. It's bound to get cheaper and freer. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. To the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bud made a good point. Dennis Miller is a good actor.
Yeah, he's good in that Disclosure.
See, I was talking to Rance. I love Disclosure, that movie with Demi Moore. But Dennis Miller was in that movie. He was fantastic.
Yeah, that's the only movie I ever seen him in that he was any good at, though. Everything else stink. But he is funny on TV, but he stink. Or I think everything on radio stink.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something, man?
What?
Everything on radio stinks. Why do you say everything on radio stink?
No.
I think you're wrong, man.
No, I'm not wrong.
Yeah, no, I think... Isn't he wrong?
Yeah, I think grammatically you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. If you say everything on radio stinks, that's the proper way to say it. You don't say everything on radio stink. And then you said on radio he stink.
No, that is right.
No, it's not right. Where did you guys... Did you get out of third grade? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. If you say on radio, Dennis Miller, he stink.
Yeah.
No, what are we talking, baby talk here? On radio, Dennis Miller, he stink. No,
no, Phil, if you look at it.
No, Robert, trust me, man. Trust me, okay?
No, if you say that.
No, I'm not going to listen to you try to talk me into saying that the following phrase is correct. Dennis Miller, he stink.
But he does.
I'm not talking about whether he really stinks or not. I'm talking about the actual phrase.
Oh, okay. We thought you were sticking up for Dennis Miller.
Look, don't get me into a conversation about whether he's any good or not. I was talking about the grammar.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
You thought I was arguing with you about whether he stinks or not?
God, squeak like a girl, why don't you?
What are you talking about?
You go, what the heck?
Yeah, it did sound like that, man.
Yes, sir.
Okay, my throat, you know.
Okay.
I'm going to beat your ass, man, I swear.
Yeah.
Help.
Residents, and listen to this. California town outraged to learn of officials' pay. Bell, California, right here in the beautiful metropolitan metropolis of, what do we call it, L.A. Here in Los Angeles, Bell, residents in this modest blue-collar Los Angeles suburb, where one in six lives in poverty. Jeez, I didn't know that.
Where is this anyway?
In Bell, man. It's like southeast Los Angeles. Residents in this modest blue-collar Los Angeles suburb where one in six lives in poverty were angry. Their city manager was getting paid more than President Barack Obama and the police chief more than the commander of the nearly 13,000-member LAPD.
You're kidding.
No. They demanded and got the manager, the chief, and another high-salaried official to resign. They looked for the culprits, and they found him and the very people they entrusted to lead their city of 40,000. Now they're campaigning to boot them out of office. Their mayor and three of their four council members, people they see every day at the grocery store or church, approved the contracts and put an obscure measure on the ballot that allowed council members to pay themselves any amount of money. And they did, collecting between $90,000 and $100,000 a year as part-time officials. Oh, my God. This is America, and everything would be transparent, plumber and longtime Bell resident Ralph Macchius said. In Bell, however, not many people really paid attention. The city of mostly small homes is like many American cities and towns. No newspaper covers them regularly, and the citizens spend what little free time they have with family and recreation. A few who kept tabs on City Hall said they were suspicious because the officials were secretive, brusque, and quick to act without explaining themselves. Boy, thank God sometimes for those gadflies that hang around those city council meetings.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. There's just a certain kind of people that go down to city council meetings. And in Bell, California, man. Bell? I mean, I hadn't heard anybody talk about Bell. Where is Pastor Rennick?
He's in Bellflower.
Bellflower. What caught us by surprise was the amount of money they were paying people, said Ali Saleh, who helped form the Bell Association to Stop the Abuse, whose acronym BASTA translates to enough in Spanish. The salaries exploded into public view last week after a Los Angeles Times investigation based on California Public Records Act requests showed that the city payroll was bloated with all sorts of six-figured salaries. Listen to this. Chief Administrative Officer Robert Rizzo made $780,000 a year, getting a series of raises since being hired in 1993 at 72 grand.
Man.
72 grand. The cat's making almost $1 million a year as the chief administrative officer for Bell, California. Obama makes 400 grand a year, the president. Assistant city manager Angela Spasia made $376,000 a year. Police chief Randy Adams earned $457,000 a year. Hired just last year to oversee a force of fewer than 50 people, he was making 50% more than L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck's $307,000 a year. All three Bell officials resigned after a late-night meeting on Thursday. To the residents of Bell, we apologize, Mayor Oscar Hernandez said. Now Hernandez and the council members may be next. The council would have to approve the contracts in an open session, but several residents complained that officials are loath to explain what they're doing and quick to race through matter. People, you got to pay attention to what's going on. It doesn't mean that everybody's a crook. It doesn't mean that there's all kind of conspiratorial things going on. But if you're just a good citizen like these people in Bell, California, and you just ask the question like, hey, how much are you getting paid? I mean, that's all it takes. And they didn't, just like the man said here, they didn't have a daily newspaper. They didn't have daily coverage of a radio station. It's a little tiny city in the middle of the L.A. metro area. So it's going to get lost in the big wash of news that happens in Los Angeles every day. The Times said that Hernandez, Vice Mayor and Councilwoman Teresa Jacobo and Councilman George Marabi and Luis Artiga are paid $8,000 a year, plus around $8,000 a month for boards and commissions they sit on. $8,000 a month. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wiegand, and our screener was Tex Heron. And we'll see you guys on Monday. PhilHendryShow.com for all your radio needs on this beautiful weekend.
Okay, Mr. Henry.
Phil Hendry.